be just talking about a project that we did called Head Start Ready. This is funded by the National Institute for Child Health and Human Development. We're part of a school readiness consortium, a group of 8 grants that were funded in a special initiative to try to conduct rigorous evaluations of curricular components that could enhance preschool education and promote school readiness. So what am I doing, the left one? Is that what you were doing, the left click?
No, all right.
No, you got it, okay.
Right.
Yeah, so I mentioned our funders. Of course, no one here can do this work alone. It's always a team behind the scenes. So I just want to recognize all of the staff and my colleagues at Penn State, and then, of course, the teachers, students, and parents. We were in 3 different programs. They were all Head Start programs in central Pennsylvania that we worked with. So basically, the goals of READY were to build upon the foundation of strong curriculum practice that happens in Head Start. Most Head Start programs use either High Scope or Creative Curriculum. I didn't see the hands raised earlier about who was here from a preschool versus other settings, so forgive me if I'm telling some of you something you already know, but it'll be informational for others. So a lot of them use these strong, there's, of course, given the Head Start standards, a high quality in many sites. I mean, it varies even within Head Start, but that there's a strong curriculum base. But the idea behind these grants was to test additional research-based components that could be integrated into practices already going on. And we focused on social-emotional competencies as well as language and literacy skills. So the idea was to provide materials and support to teachers to try to give them some components to add to their already ongoing practices and to test these in as with the highest most rigorous evaluation that we could. So we chose the randomized clinical trial to evaluate the impact of our READY intervention on school readiness. So a secondary question, in addition to looking at child outcomes, we looked at teacher outcomes, and the idea was to see if it was actually changes in teacher behavior, in the way that they interacted with students in the classroom, that were the cause, and that our child outcomes were mediated by these kind of changes in the teacher-child interactions. Trying to unravel the black box a little bit as to what our programs are actually doing in the way of changing these kinds of settings. Okay, so just a quick overview of our logic model, the READY logic model. We had proximal outcomes and distal outcomes. The intervention was conducted during 1 year with 4-year-olds in the Head Start setting. So it's a 1-year intervention. And as I mentioned, we are looking, our targets are both teachers and children. So what you see under there is our intervention is both a curriculum and a teacher mentoring program. So teachers were given support with a weekly mentor to use the materials. And we hypothesize that our intervention will have an impact in both teaching strategies and child competencies. And so in the teaching strategies, we were looking to see improvements in the quality of communication between teachers and students, richer talk, more communication. And then, of course, in the area of the interactions around just positive, supportive kind of interactions, looking for emotional support, sensitivity, things like that, and better instructional interactions. And then in the child competencies, we thought that we would be able to improve oral language and emergent literacy skills, as well as social-emotional kinds of competencies. You'll see the domains, the kinds of lessons that we have target all of those areas. Of course, parent involvement is, and parents play an important role. In this particular grant, we had, we feel, a nice component of materials that went home to parents. So, of course, they were informed about our intervention. They could reinforce, like you guys just spoke about, parents doing certain activities to reinforce the ideas of the curriculum. But we did not test the parent piece. That's our next grant where we're actually testing the improved outcome as a result of parents doing instruction in addition to us. But we have it there to recognize, of course, the importance of parents and that we did not ignore them. They were given materials and partners in this. And we feel that our intervention is going to improve these kinds of readiness outcomes for the transition to school. And our design also, though, follows the children into kindergarten and first grade because we want to see the effect on longer-term behavioral and academic outcomes in the early elementary time point. So those are more of our distal outcomes. But today I'm just going to be presenting on the outcomes at the end of the preschool year, so our proximal outcomes. So as I mentioned, that we really had an emphasis not just on a curriculum and lessons, but on the process that happens between teachers and children. So we had as heavy an emphasis on teacher coaching as we do in our professional development, as we do in making them aware of the kind of materials that we're giving them and how they can use them. So we really think that our lessons, it's an important foundation, but it's what teachers do in the day-to-day, the generalizing of those concepts, the just use of the ideas and the way they interact with children every day throughout the day. So taking advantage of sort of teachable moments for these kinds of skill development in language, emergent literacy, and of course social interactions, which are define basically teacher-child relationships. And that these kinds of interactions are really going to help the child consolidate these skills and use their skills in new situations. Okay, so here's what our components look like. So taking first of all the social-emotional side of things, I have two slides here. The first one's social-emotional and the second one is the language and literacy. So what we have here are target skills on the left, and then you can see the breakdown of the curriculum components and the lessons that targeted these areas, and then what we called our teaching strategies, which is what the coaches were really working with the teachers on weekly, these kind of generalized teaching behaviors that we think are important. So the target skills are based on the literature of what we know about the importance of social-emotional skills for long-term behavioral adjustment and academic success, school readiness. Children need pro-social skills, emotional skills, the ability to stop and calm down. You mentioned impulsivity. and to be able to think about social problems and to be able to be effective in working out those kind of difficulties with peers. So we have lessons in all of these domains. And then teachers are coached in these kinds of strategies about how to create a positive classroom environment, where there's a lot of praise and warm involvement, some specific things that go beyond, I think, the typical training for professional development for teachers, specific to our model about the kind of emotional interactions that teachers and students need to have where children can really learn the emotion skills that we think are important, not just recognition of emotions, but how to manage your emotions, and actual accuracy and a richer emotion vocabulary, distinctions between sad and mad, but even distinctions within angry, that you can feel frustrated in addition to angry, that we break down and have a lot of different lessons on feelings. And then we have a whole set of what we call induction strategies, or ways for teachers to promote self-control rather than regulating children's behavior through external control. It's setting up situations where children choose to regulate themselves, and then we can reinforce and follow up with positive praise for that. So really trying to promote self-regulation in the children. Our language and literacy domains we're targeting are basically vocabulary, syntax, phonological awareness, sensitivity, and print awareness. And all four of these skills, I don't have time to go into all the literature of emergent literacy skills and the links to reading, but they're pretty standard target outcomes for this age group, and they've been linked to success with early reading. And our curriculum, I'll tell you a little bit more about these pieces, but we have an interactive reading component, a set of sound games, and a print center. So these are different components in addition to our social-emotional lessons that are integrated into the day for teachers. And then the more general things that coaches are working, that mentors are working on with the teachers, are things like building on children's language expansions, trying to foster richer vocabulary in students, building on their vocabulary, using more questions and reflections, the quality of the conversations to try to build children's language, the richness of their language, and talking in more, using more decontextualized talk, talking about things that aren't there, referencing things, just again to build up this kind of language in the children. So our social-emotional component came from a an intervention that is already available. This is the preschool PAVS curriculum is published by the Channing Beat Company. They are represented here, but I guess the conference is ending, so perhaps you ran into their booth. I don't know. But I'm the author of this along with Mark Greenberg, Carol Couchet, and Rebecca Cortez. Mark Greenberg and Carol Couchet actually developed the elementary version of PAVS. That's for K to 5, and it is very similar. We adapted the materials to be developmentally appropriate for preschool children. So we took that piece, which has the lessons, and then we developed our mentoring program that complemented that for the social-emotional. For the language and literacy, we built on the work of Wasik Bond and Hinman and Whitehurst and Arnold, colleagues in two different shops who really developed this interactive reading program. I'm not going to tell you too much about it because time is short, but I can give anyone references to these pieces. But this piece alone already had a strong evidence base. Preschool PAVS had a previous randomized trial. So this intervention was really trying to bring together different evidence-based pieces and test them as a whole. We integrated the social-emotional and the reading piece by having certain PAVS social-emotional themes that were reflected in our books that were... We had two books a week as part of the interactive reading. So one of those books had a social-emotional theme. And our sound games was a small group. It was an intervention that took place in small group, and each week there were different pieces to that that followed a scope and sequence, building on children's skills, focused on fostering phonemic awareness. This is built out of the work of Adams and his colleagues. And our last intervention piece was an alphabet center with again, developmentally sequenced set of activities. All of our pieces are theoretically based, developmentally sequenced, and this was to foster letter recognition. Okay, so I want to spend the last 5 minutes that I have on our research design and our outcomes, because we're quite pleased with the outcomes that we got. So we had 356 children in 44 Head Start classrooms. So across the 1 year, we did this in two cohorts. So 2 years in a row, we recruited students, but each time it was in new classrooms. So it's always new 1 year exposure with teachers who are just using the curriculum for the first time. We matched classrooms on a lot of different variables that we needed to make sure that we had a matched intervention control group. We had a 3-day training in the summer for our teachers and then a booster training in January. As I mentioned, weekly mentoring from our staff who are also former teachers, generally master's level consultants. And in addition to the teacher-rated outcomes, we had a very extensive measurement battery with teacher, parent, child, and observations being conducted. As I said, pre-post, so October and then in May. And I think pretty much I've said this, just lots of different strategies to make sure we were getting a good sense of the outcomes. I'm just going to flash the measures that we use so you have a sense of how we assessed each of these skill areas. We have vocabulary, we have phonemic awareness using the CTOP, which has many different subtests to it. We assess social-emotional skills with the ACEs, which gets at emotional accuracy. The emotion recognition questionnaire gets at knowledge of emotion situations. Challenging situation tasks gives us an assessment of problem solving. And then our teacher ratings along the same sorts of dimensions of school readiness, aggressive, disruptive behavior, and social competence. Parents also gave us ratings of the language use at home, reading involvement at home, and their perception of the child's ADHD, hyperactive, inattentive types of behaviors. And our observation, again, same dimensions, now from a blind observer's perspective. All right, so our analytic strategy, we used HLM because we had to account for the clustering of students in classrooms, so we took care of that with that analytic approach. We controlled for child sex and race. We also, in each case, controlled for the pre-intervention score. We're looking at post-test score, controlling for pre-test, and we looked at site, cohort, as well as intervention status in our models. And I have a few different visuals here. You can just look along and see where we had significant effects on these different scales, but in the end, I'll just summarize it for you, so it might be easier to wait for that slide. So we did have effects, though, in each of our domains. of the language and literacy skills, the social-emotional skills, on teacher ratings in terms of children's intervention, children being rated as less aggressive, and we also had parent intervention effects, parents rating better language communication at home, and then we also had observer effects on engagement in learning. So overall, I think this is the easier slide to use to summarize our effects. We felt we were successful in providing this with support, showing that Head Start teachers could effectively implement READY with fidelity, and that we could alter child outcomes. Our effect sizes ranged from 0.15 to 0.39. Our average effect size was 0.26, and that's around about the same as preschool education, being in around the 0.25 range. So we're quite pleased with this. And compared to, you know, the effects of aspirin on heart disease being 0.10, we're pleased. So not to brag, but we have to get excited about these kinds of outcomes. And behavioral improvements, similar kinds of range. So the last thing I'll do in the last minute is just skip through. I'm not going to show the visuals, but I'm just going to say that we also looked at the impact on teaching practices. We had effects on teacher outcome. We used the class as our Bob Pianta's measure of teacher behavior. We had positive effects on that, so improvements in intervention teachers, emotional support, instructional support to children, and we saw some nice mediation to our child outcomes. So we have different papers coming out on our teacher outcomes. We have a separate paper on child outcomes, and then we have a paper on the mediation of teacher practices mediating the effects on child outcomes. So we're trying to tackle this, and we found some intervention pieces that we think make a difference. Now our work is on figuring out the best way to disseminate this and see it replicated in real-world settings, and developing models on how to get it to a broader audience.